Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization that is dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible to everyone. Alhamdulillah, Qalam has been able to serve so many people all across the world in so many ways. And now, Qalam has the opportunity and the ability to take its work to the next level. Qalam now has the ability to expand its offerings to people all across the world in so many different ways. Qalam is acquiring a campus, a home, where we can continue to do the work that we do and in fact increase what we do. But we need your help, we need your support to make that dream a reality. Go to QalamCampus.com and donate generously. Every single person listening to this podcast, benefiting from Qalam, I need you to go there and donate and share that link far and wide. And let's all of us come together, invest into our sadaqah jariyah, and take this work to the next level. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Now enjoy the podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Okay, bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbika arhamur rahimin. Allahumma akfina bihalalik an haramik wa aqnina bifadlik amman siwak ya wasi al maghfira. This dua that we've been reading, Allahumma akfina bihalalik an haramik. It's a really special dua that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. And it basically means that, oh Allah, make my halal sustenance enough to protect me from haram. Make my halal enough to protect me from haram. And the concept is really deep because the Prophet ﷺ, our aqidah actually tells us that the halal and the haram are both rizq. They're both your sustenance. It's just up to you how you take it. You feel me? It's like, it's going to come to you that, you know, 50 grand, that 70 grand, that whatever, the Lambo, I don't know, right? That's your risk. It's written for you. It's maktub. It's already there. But what's interesting is that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us that now it's just up to you whether you bring it in through a halal source or whether you are hasty and you bring it through a haram source. All right. And so it's very important to understand this dua I've been reading since we began this session, just because I think it's a really beautiful dua. And the second part of that dua is wa aghnina bifadlik amman siwak, and make us not need anyone other than you. Make us not need any, give us ghina. Ghina in Arabic normally means we take it to be rich, right? But if you think about it, the word ghina, it means to not be in need, right? But it says amman siwak, not to need anyone other than you. So it's not that I want to feel that I don't need anyone, because that's a very bad spiritual state to reach at. Oh, I don't even need Allah. I got this. Uh-uh. But amman siwak, I don't need anyone but you. Right? So it's a very, very powerful dua. Allahumma kfina bihalalik an haramik. Wa aghnina bifadlik amman siwak ya wasi al maghfira. Okay, so bismillah walhamdulillah, this is our eighth class of Risalatul Mustarshideen of Imam Muhasibi rahimahullah ta'ala. And in this book, we've been reading these small gems of advice given to us by the Imam and contextualizing and understanding how these bits of advice fit within our lives. The last thing that we read in our last session before the Eid is وَإِذَا صَلَّيْتَ فَصَلِّي صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعٍ. We said that he said, when you pray the prayer of someone bidding farewell. Pray the prayer of someone bidding farewell. So it's as if, like, now you get up to pray Asr, and one of the things that messes up your Asr is you're like, yo, I got stuff to do. I'll pray better my Maghrib. I'll pray better my next day Asr. But the concept that, no, this might be my last prayer allows you to really hone in and focus on the quality of that. And what we talked about in our last session was that this concept of thinking about the shortness of life, which is really a key part of Islamic spirituality is not this morbid kind of like, oh, I'm going to die. But it's actually about filling every moment with all of the potential that it could have, right? And truly being present in the moment. So that concept that like, yo, if you knew this was your last halaqa, right? Like, yo, the angel of death comes. It's like, yo, you're like, yo, what's going on? Right? He's like, yo, this is your last halaqa. You could be like, yo, I'm memorizing this joint. I'm getting everything I can. So similarly, any relationship that you have, when you realize the value of this moment, that it could be the last moment, then you give this infinite potential to the relationship and the bond that can be created in that moment. And so with Allah, that's true. With wifey, with husband, with parents, with everyone, that's the truth. When you realize this could be the potential last relationship. So وَإِذَا صَلَّيْتَ صَلَاةَ مُوَدِّعٍ وَإِذَا صَلَّيْتِ فَصَلَّ صَلَاةَ مُوَدِّعٍ. When you pray, pray as if it is the farewell prayer to truly bring that presence of mind back into the prayer. Alhamdulillah. So we did that last week. And so now we're going to read some new stuff. We haven't covered this. This is new, right? Bismillah. He says, wa'lam, and know, annaka lan tajida ta'mal iman. You will never find the taste of faith. Now, this is an interesting phrase. Some hadith, the Prophet ﷺ actually used the word halawat al-iman, the sweetness of faith, the sweetness of faith. In this narration, or in this phrase, he says ta'm al-iman, the taste of it. Now, what's interesting is for many of us, our faith is a cerebral type thing. It's kind of a cerebral thing. Yeah, I believe I'm a Muslim. I believe in these things, right? But when you go through like life and hard difficulties and you go through tough things that shake you, you end up forming a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's experiential and not cerebral. You feel what I'm saying? And so what I mean by that is like, subhanAllah, the taste is so interesting because it's so subjective, but it's so real. Yeah, especially with COVID, right? Everyone recognized taste was no joke, right? Like, you know, that was one of the things, right? You lose taste. I don't know. I ain't get it, so I'm good. May Allah have mercy on everyone who had it and make it easy for them. I ain't trying to make light of it, but I'm just saying. So taste. Like taste, I can't deny that you taste something, right? I can't deny that reality. It's purely subjective, purely subjective. Your experience of that taste is purely subjective. I know you taste, but I don't know how you taste, right? And nor can I ever quite actually know what sweet tastes like to you. Or if something is malh, right? Namkeen. I don't know what that tastes like to you. I know what it tastes like to me. So what this hadith talks about, there's one hadith where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Dhaqa ta'am al-iman." This person shall taste the flavor of faith. Who? Man radiya billahi rabba. Whoever is pleased with God as his Lord, wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam nabiyan wa rasula. Whoever is pleased with Allah as his Lord, the Prophet as his Prophet, and Islam as his way of life, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this person shall taste the flavor of iman. And that goes to say that it is something that is deep and undeniable, because I felt it just the way I tasted something. You know what I'm saying? I felt it really deep to my core. In another narration, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said regarding the taste of iman, the man who lowers their gaze from the beauty of a woman will find the taste of faith. Like, that's an action that if you force yourself to that action, there's a taste of iman that would seep into the heart and you would start to experience that taste of the faith. It's a beautiful narration, right? And so in this narration, in this statement, I'm sorry, this isn't a hadith. Imam Muhasibi, he says, I'lam, know that you shall never, my bad, man, this thing is just so loud. Okay, there we go. All right. It says, wa'lam annaka lan tajida ta'mal iman. Know that you will never ever taste the flavor of faith. So what are we saying? Get that experiential relationship. It's not cerebral. It's experiential now. I can't deny love, but I can't explain it to you, yo. I can't deny love. I can't explain it to you. You got to feel it, man. And there's nothing I can do. Same way that the connection through faith, the relationship that you build with Allah. When someone's like, yo, you believe in Allah, you're like, believe? Bruh, what do you mean believe? I feel it. I know it. I've tasted the relationship. I was in a hardship. He pulled me out. Literally, he changed my situation. I know God exists. Like that, that's an experiential relationship. And that's why I said, sometimes you're going through a difficulty and that is where you really bring that tight, close-knit relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that difficult situation, right? So subhanAllah, sometimes the difficulties we're going through are only there for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are going through a difficulty, you just gotta keep renewing that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout that difficulty. And as you'll come out, everything changes in life, right? You'll come out like, but when you come out, you'll come out like, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. No situation stays the same. That's the one common thing everyone has to agree upon about life. Nothing stays the same, right? So your tough situation is not going to be there forever. But while you're in that moment, it's about reaching out for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and building that relationship. So, all right, let me finally read it, right? He says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ لَنْ تَجِدَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ. You will never ever gain or feel the flavor of faith, the sweetness of faith. I'm sorry, I can't get to these words. You know when someone converts, man, or you know when you change from being just a normal Muslim to actually like practicing, and the feeling you got in a sajda, the feeling you got praying, the feeling you got reading Quran, like that, you know, that Ramadan feeling sometimes, like that's the feeling of faith. It's on a whole different level, subhanAllah. So let me finish now. Hatta tu'mina bil qadr. You will never ever taste the flavor of faith until you believe in the qadr. What is qadr? Qadr means God's preordainment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's writing of all that will happen throughout your entire life. Throughout your entire life. There's a narration, it's a beautiful narration, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. In this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the very first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, this is a beautiful narration. The very first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the qalam. Was the qalam. Inna awwala ma khalaq Allah tabaraka ta'ala al-qalam, thumma qala uktub. Thumma qala uktub. He said to the pen, write. فَجَرَى بِتِلْكَ السَّعَى بِمَا هُوَ كَأَنْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And so the pen began to write everything that was going to happen until the day of judgment. So as believers, what Imam Muhasibi is saying is that you have to every day, there's a hadith that I think Ustad Murphy went over recently, احفظ الله يحفظك, protect Allah, He will protect you. This is a very well-known hadith and I'm going to share it with you. This is a hadith that you want to review weekly. This is a hadith, I'm going to say it to you today, but this is a hadith once a week. You need that dose of this hadith. Let me share this hadith with you. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Abbas, he was a young man, and he was riding shotgun with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like on a camel though, obviously, right? He was riding shotgun with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Radif. Radifa Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is riding with him. And he says, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. He says, young man, I want to teach you some words. It's a very powerful hadith. Ihfadillah yahfadka. Protect Allah, He will protect you. Write these down, this is heavy. Protect Allah, Allah will protect you. Now many people are like, what do you mean protect Allah? Protect the religion, protect your relationship with Allah. Protect your relationship. If a father-in-law says you protect my daughter, he doesn't just mean protect her. He means protect the relationship you have with her. Protect her heart. Right? Ihfadillah yahfadka. SubhanAllah, that's my mom right there, yo. Here. Can you give this to your mom? Is your wife here? No? Okay. Oh, here. Maria, come here. Can you just see if she needs anything? All right. It's mom's, yo, right? And then the next message is, are you guys okay? MashaAllah, moms are beautiful. The moment you don't reply, it's like, SubhanAllah, look at the love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our mother's hearts, man. Amazing. Alhamdulillah. Okay, I lost my train of thought. Alhamdulillah. What was it? Yes, ihfadillah yahfadka. That the hadith says, ihfadillah yahfadka. Then the hadith continues. Write this down. This is a very important hadith. Ihfadillah tajiduhu tujahak. Protect Allah. Again, protect the relationship you have with Allah. You will find him wherever you turn. Whichever direction you're at, wherever you are in life, you'll find him there with you. Then he says, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Beautiful point. When you ask, when you need something, only ask Allah. This is important because I spoke about this many times. In our society, we are so, from a young age, we learn so much the importance of do things yourself. Be independent, right? But the Prophet ﷺ teaches us, no, the way you build a relationship with Allah is you ask more. You ask more, not ask less. With people, the more you call and ask, the more they stop answering your calls, man. You feel me? All of a sudden, you see the red, you see the receipts, you see receipts. But it's, you know, it's not replies. Because every time you call, you ask him for something. But with Allah, that is what he wants from us. And so we have to switch that thinking that no. Every time I need something, Allah wants me to turn to him. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهُ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ. The hadith is still going. When you seek help, when you need help, فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Turn to Allah. Again, difficulties as a doorway to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the next things, and this is the main part. وَعْلَمْ, he said, and understand. Know this as a fact. أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ, if the entire world, لَوْ اِجْتَمَعَتْ, if they all gather together to give you some type of benefit, they would never ever be able to benefit you except with what God has written for you. And if the entire ummah gathered together to harm you, they would never be able to harm you except for what God has written against you. And then the Prophet said, Rufi'atil aqlam wa juffatis suhuf. The pens have been lifted and the ink has dried. That's it. The beauty of our belief in Qadr is that we work hard as if our agency is all that matters, but we tawakkal and trust in a way as if it's only up to Allah. Let me say that again. The dynamic state of a believer is this, as I said before, this relationship of two extremes. Because if you're a true determinist, what does determinism mean? Oh, I have no agency. Whatever God wrote, I can't do anything. If you're a true determinist, what does it matter what I do? But if you believe in true free will, then you're like, it's only up to me. But we believe in both in a way. How so? When I'm doing actions, when I'm trying, when I'm doing my best, I'm doing my best as if it's only up to me. But then when I'm done, I leave the results up to Allah. It's only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful. And that will allow us to take the losses a lot lighter. Alhamdulillah, this wasn't written for me. Alhamdulillah, this wasn't written for me. Allahu Akbar. Let's go forward, inshallah ta'ala. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll share this one thing. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make a dua. And the dua that he would make is this. Oh Allah, I ask you for iman, faith that goes to the core of my heart so that I know that whatever has hit me could not have missed me. And whatever misses me could not have hit me. The frustrating thing is when you feel like that was supposed to be mine and you don't get it. You feel me? That's the most frustrating thing. You're like, nah, that was mine. Nah, it wasn't, bro. It wasn't. Don't get frustrated. No, it wasn't yours. That's not the, that's, subhanAllah, the word musiba. What does musiba mean, like in English? A calamity, right? Do you know the word, if you look it up in the dictionary, asab al-sahm, it means when the arrow hits the bullseye. Like when you shoot an arrow and it hits right where it's supposed to hit, that's called asabta, like you hit the mark. So even the musibas are hitting where they're supposed to hit. It changes everything, because what stresses us out is the aspect that it looks like there's no purpose to it, right? When you go through a difficulty and it feels like there's no purpose, that's where the stress comes. But when you use the word musiba, it's like, no, this is supposed to hit right here. And it changes your perspective completely. So yeah, let's go to the next part, inshallah ta'ala. So what does he say? Let's repeat this one. You will never taste the sweetness of faith. You will never taste and gain that experiential faith. Someone's like, yo, how do you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists? You're like, no, this is experiential for me. This is not cognitive anymore. This is purely experiential. Until what? Until you have full faith in the predestination, all of it, the good and the bad. Whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now when you say it's from Allah, you got to remember one thing. Rabbuna Kareem. Our Lord is Kareem. Our Lord is Rahim. He's generous. He's loving. Al-Wudud. Keep that in mind. You have to remember that, inshallah ta'ala. So that hadith is a very important hadith that we mentioned. And now we'll go on to the next part. So, wa'alam annaka lan tajida ta'mal iman hatta tu'mina bil qadri kullihi khayrihi wa sharrihi. You will never ever taste the sweetness of faith until you believe in predestination, all of it written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khayrihi wa sharrihi. Khayrihi wa sharrihi. All right, let's go to the next part. Okay, mashallah. Okay, beautiful. Imam Muhasibi, he says, wa kun qa'ilan bil haqq amilan bihi yazidka Allahu nuran wa basiratan. He says, and be a person who speaks the truth, who speaks for truth. Qa'ilan bil haqq, speaks with truth. Amilan bihi, acting on it as well. What will happen? Yazidakallahu nuran wa basiratan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in light and insight. Okay, so let's this is really interesting. So from an Islamic perspective, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what's the verse? Walakin ta'mal qulubu allati fi sudur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ma ta'mal absar walakin ta'mal qulubu allati fi sudur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that one of the problems with people is not that their eyes are blind, that they can't physically see. The problem is when the hearts become blinded. And so what the scholars have mentioned is that the human body, this is our whole like understanding of the human being. The human has this basar, right? And the basar is very sensitive. Yo, you get one thing in your eye, like the show stops. Everyone's like, yo, hold up. You know what I mean? You can't do nothing when you get something in your eye. Everything stops. Very, very sensitive. Something, the smallest thing, right? A small scratch, man, you're done for weeks, right? You feel it. So the basar is our physical sight. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but more important than the basar is actually what's called basira. Now, basira is a type of, for lack of better English terms, we're just going to call it insight. But it's what you have to understand, it is the nur and the light that the heart sees with. All right, Mikael, all this metaphysical heart seeing, what are you talking about? Right? What do you mean my heart sees things? Let me give an example. Like, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, he used to make this dua. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna tiba wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba min. He used to make this dua. Oh Allah, allow me to see truth as truth and to follow it and allow me to see falsehood as falsehood. So what there is there's this objective reality and there's this subjective perception of reality. And so what we're learning here is the Prophet ﷺ is saying your heart could reach a state where it doesn't see falsehood as falsehood. It sees falsehood as good and where it sees good as bad. Imam Ghazali gives a beautiful example. Anyone here like fried chicken? You do? Yo, me too, bro. I don't care if they're cliche. I don't care what they say. They can label me all day. So listen, Imam Ghazali gives this amazing example. He says, someone could love, he uses honey, not fried chicken. I'll use fried chicken. Someone could love fried chicken, right? Love it with a passion. But if they have the flu or a stomach virus, the smell of it will make you wanna puke, right? Your mom could be making your favorite dish, but you're sick. And the smell of it, let alone the taste, get it away from me. The smell of it will make me want. Now, has the actual fried chicken, like, did her recipe change? No, the smell is fine. But your perception, the sickness within you, has now changed your subjective perception of that thing. So Imam Ghazali says, one of the effects of sins, when you do a lot of them, is, and this is very dangerous, one of the shuyukh, he was saying, he was like, the eyes are sensitive, but the eyes of the heart are even more sensitive. The eyes of the heart, Imam Shafi had a photographic memory. Imam Shafi's memory was so good that he could not look at a page of Quran as a child out of order because he memorized it out of order. Because if he glanced at it, if he just looked at it, it was done. One day he goes to his teacher, Waqi', and he's like, I can't memorize today. And he later wrote a poem about this incident. So Waqi', he goes, what did you do on your way to class today? He goes, oh, I was walking and there was a lady walking in front of me and her abaya went up a little and I saw her lower leg. He was like, that's it, do Toba. Y'all boys like, man, I'm done. Lower leg? Ya Rab. Ya Allah, Allah have mercy on us and forgive us, man. We live in a time of fitna. And I think, honestly, I think for men, the door to wilaya means to become a friend of God. There's only one thing you need to do to become a wali of Allah today. Control your eyes. Nothing else. No tahajjud, no nothing. No extra dhikr, no nothing. Nothing else. Obviously, five prayers, okay? Chill out. Obviously, come on. Don't misquote me, right? Sound bites. He said nothing else. Look at him. He don't believe in prayer. I'm telling you one thing. Control of the gaze. That's it. That's it. That's the door of wilaya today. That's the door of wilaya today. Wallahu a'lam. So Imam Shafi goes, that's it. And he wrote a poem later. Subhanallah, the poem, Shakotu ila waqi' su'a hifdi fa'arshadni ila tarkil ma'asi wa akhbarani bi anna al-ilma nura wa nura la yahdi la yuhda ila al-asi. There's different riwaya of it where he goes, I complained to my teacher Waqi' but that my memory had faltered. And he said, it's a sin that you're doing. Why am I bringing this up? It's because the basira, the heart, is very sensitive to sin. Very sensitive. Now, what happens the same way when you work, repeatedly rub over an area, you can callus the heart the same way you callus skin. And so you may commit many sins and not feel them because you've calloused that. But when you rejuvenate, do a deep toba and you go away from the sins for a while, you will feel the effect of one small sin. You will feel the effect of one small sin and the darkness that it creates on the heart. So why am I bringing that up? I just wanted us to understand what the basira is. The basira is the heart's ability to see the truth. The heart's ability to see the actual truth. And so that's why a lot of times, you know, you'll go to a lecture and the dude is spitting huck, right? But your little shaitan inside is just like rejecting it. Like, you know what I mean? You're like, whatever. Yeah, whatever. At that moment, if I feel that, I'm like, astaghfirullah. Because I know there's something in me that's making me not like the huck right now. So I have to clean something. He's spitting huck, yo. What do I got against the huck? It's just like the fried chicken. It's the fried chicken is you just walked in. I said, the fried chicken might sound mad weird, but khair, inshallah. The smell of it, there's nothing wrong with it. It's me. It's my perception of it that makes me want to almost vomit at the smell of it because I am sick. Similarly with the sins, when you see yourself in good environments and you're not comfortable, I got to get out of here. It's too pious up in this joint. Let me get out. It's like, no, you got to do some tawbah. You got to clean it out. You got to do some tawbah. You have to clean the heart a bit. Okay? Okay. So, wa kun qa'ilan bil haqq. So that was our talk about basira. The basira is the sight of the heart. I think it was Helen Keller. She said, you know, you guys obviously did book reports on her in grammar school, right? Right. So Helen Keller, she said, worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. And I think for us, I would say worse than being blind is to have a heart that, but the heart can't see truth anymore. Because you've sinned so much that you've taken away the ability for that heart to recognize truth anymore. And the hearts can be softened. The hearts can be softened. You have to distance yourself from the sin. You have to go through that purification process. But the heart can be made soft again so that it recognizes truth as truth and falsehood as falsehood. So he says, all right, back to this. What does he say? Allahu Akbar. Wa kun qa'ilan bil haqq. عَامِلًا بِهِ يَزِدَقَ اللَّهُ نُورًا وَبَصِيرَةً. Speak the truth and act on the truth. So two things. Speak on it. Say it's the haq. Speak the haq. Like talk about it. No, that's wrong. That's right. That's truth. And I think what we really got to recognize is the era that we're living in. I know we're in Texas and stuff, but whatever. This is a post-truth time. This is a post-truth. We live in a post-truth society. What do I mean by that? Well, speak your truth gives a very, very relative understanding of truth. There is no objective truth. My truth, your truth, whatever. But for Muslims, we're like, no. There's a divine truth. And I will live my life to adjust myself to that divine standard of truth. But nowadays we live and it's just like, no. Everyone's on truth. Everyone's on it. That's your truth. This is my truth. But that doesn't make sense. وَلَا تَكُنْ مِمَّنْ يَأْمُرُ بِهِ وَيَعْنَا عَنْ. So now what he talks about is this. He goes, do not be a person who commands and encourages and teaches the truth, but you yourself stay away from it. Now what he's referring to is there are verses in the Quran that talk about this kind of relationship that sometimes happens when people are really engaged in Islamic da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Atamuruna an-nasa bil birri wa tansawna anfusakum?" Are you going to command the people to good, but you forget your own self? And so, like, the Sahaba were very scared to be the actual preachers. They did not want that position. They dreaded that position. Do you know the name for a fatwa, a question? Back in the day, they used to call it a nazila. And a nazila means like a calamity. Because now I'm put in this position of teaching. And they tried to stay away from it. But when there was no one else, they would sit in that position. They would be there. But why were they so scared? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he says it here. He says, قال الله تعالى كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. It is hated in the sight of God that you say what you don't do. And so sitting at this spot here is so scary because it's like, Ya Rab, I'm weak, Ya Allah. I'm weak. This is hard. This is difficult. And so he says, Qala Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, listen to this narration. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Man wa'adha, the one who gives a sermon but can't take a sermon. The one who warns but isn't warned. The one who prohibits others but doesn't stay away himself or herself. فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَائِبِينَ. This is a person that is wretched in the sight of God. In another hadith, a sound hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, you guys know Isra and Mi'raj, where the Prophet ﷺ was taken in nightly journey through heaven and through hell. The Prophet ﷺ said, in that journey, مَرَرْتُ لَيْلَةُ أُسْرِيَ بِي. The night that I was taken and lifted up, I went through hellfire and I saw قَوْمٌ يُقْرَضُونَ شِفَاهَهُمْ بِمَقَارِيثِ. I saw a group of people, I know it sounds vulgar, but I saw a group of people who were snipping their own lips with scissors. And so I said to Jibreel, فَقُلْتُ يَا أَخِي يَا جِبْرِيلُ مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ. The Prophet ﷺ is like, oh Gabriel, who are these people? فَقَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ خُتَبَاءُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. These are the people that used to give khutbah back in the dunya. كَانُوا يَعْمُرُونَ النَّاسِ بِالْبِرِّ. They used to tell the people to do good, وَيَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ, but they forgot themselves. So nowadays there's this rush to be on the member, the rush to be like, yo, this is dangerous stuff, man. I'll pass the mic quick. Yo, y'all ready? Who? Come up. Muhammad, my student, whoever. We, like the Sahaba, were trying to run away from that. And I think that's a whole different perspective. SubhanAllah, you know, one of the scholars, he said, the one who preaches and doesn't act is like a candle that lights up a room, but it's melting itself as it gives light to the room. You get it, right? The whole room is lit, but the candle is diminishing. That's like the person giving these lectures, giving these talks, but it's not affecting them. There's one more narration, which is, it's just scary, man. Sha'bi, Imam Sha'bi, he narrated. He said, يَطَّلِعُ قَوْمٌ. There will be a group of people. There will be a group of people from the Ahlul Jannah, the people of paradise, that will look into hellfire. And they will see some people in the hellfire. I want you to listen closely to this narration. فَيَقُولُونَ. They will say to these people in the hellfire, لِمَا دَخَلْتُمْ النَّارِ وَنَحْنُ إِنَّمَا دَخَلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ بِفَضْلِ تَعْلِيمِكُمْ. They will say, why are you in the hellfire? We got to Jannah because of what you taught us. We got here because of what you taught us. How are you over there? How are you? That's why I say you can't judge things by the apparent. Allah knows the hearts. Allah knows the hearts. And that's why they say in every gathering of believers, more than 40, there's a wali of Allah. And I always say it's not the person sitting right here, yo. It ain't the person, it's the auntie in the corner over there. Post it up. The brother in the corner who thinks he's, oh man, I don't know nothing. I'm simple. Allahu Akbar. So listen, they'll say, why are you here? And we got to Jannah because of your knowledge. فَقَالُوا. These people in the hellfire, these teachers, these preachers, they will say, إِنَّا كُنَّا نَأْمُرُ بِالْخَيْرِ. We used to teach the people to do good. وَلَا نَفْعَلُهُ. But we weren't doing it. We weren't doing it. Allah protect us, man. Allah protect us. So what is he saying here? He's saying, speak the truth. And if you speak it, act upon it. Act upon it. Act upon it. If you do that, Allah will increase your nur. And Allah will increase your basira. And your basira is the ability to see right from wrong. Allah will give you that. And if you speak about it, act on it. Act on it. Now, let me just give a warning after all of that. A lot of times after hearing those scary narrations, you know, you see something wrong at home and you like, shaitan tells you, nah, yo, you still a sinner. You can't correct that wrong. Correcting a wrong is one act of ibadah. acting on it is another act of ibadah. Don't give up both. You feel me? Don't give up both. Don't give up both. Imam Razi, he says, "Atamurun an nas." Do you command people, watansona anfusakum, and you forget yourself? He says the last part is the part that is the bad part, not the first part. The last part. Don't forget yourself. And that's just remember all the time. Whatever you learn, whatever you teach, whatever you preach, your ears are the closest to your mouth. You better be the first to act on it. Your ears are the closest to your mouth. You better be the first. And that just means be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's move forward. وَلَا تُخَالِتْ إِلَّا عَقِلًا تَقِيًّا وَلَا تُجَالِسْ إِلَّا عَالِمًا بَصِيرًا قَدْ سُئِلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَيُّ جُلَسَاءُنَا خَيْرٌ فَقَالَ مَنْ ذَكَّرَكُمْ بِاللَّهِ رُؤْيَهُ وَزَادَ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقَةً وَذَكَّرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. Imam Muhasibi now switches. That topic is done. And what he says is the next thing that is extremely important for your spiritual development, for you to form and develop a relationship with Allah, is that you are very particular about the company that you keep. I ain't talking about coworkers. You got to be next to, you know, like Julie or like whoever. I don't know. Whatever. You know what I mean? Bob. Right? Whatever. You got to work with him. It don't matter. You got to work with that dude. We're talking about who you choose to keep company with. Right? Who you choose to keep company with. Very, very important thing. They say, the Prophet said, if you want to know a person, just don't look at them. Like, you want to know how a sister really is, you're proposing, you want to know how a brother really is, just find his crew. Just find his crew. Find out who he chills with. Because that's who he is. Right? That's who he is. So you can actually use that as a litmus test. Like, who do I chill with the most? Who do I chill? I know when I converted, I tried a long time to balance that bad company and that iman. It was like oil and water, man. And you know, and a beti, binti hunaka, la atakallam ala ba'd al asha. So whatever, khair inshallah. Sorry. Anyways, the point I'm trying to say is I tried so long when I first became Muslim to keep this very negative company, but I'm going to be just like light in the darkness. I'm super Muslim. You know what I mean? Y'all roll up what y'all want, do what you want, I'm good. Nah, man. Who you fooling, yo? I'm not trying to say, and he's going to give us advice. This is not about leaving people. It's about knowing you. It's not about leaving people behind. Because whenever you talk, give this talk, everyone's like, what about this sister I'm trying to help? But I'm like, is she giving dawah to you or are you giving dawah to her? Who's changing who in this relationship? Like, you know, you got what I'm saying? That's what needs to be observed. So what does he say? He says, وَلَا تُخَالِتْ إِلَّا عَاقِلًا تَقِيًّا. خَالِتْ خَلَطَ means to mix, to mingle. He says, do not mingle except with people of intelligence and taqwa. What is taqwa? Consciousness of God. Consciousness of God. وَلَا تُجَالِسْ and do not sit down in a gathering. Do not sit down to learn except with an alim, a scholar, basiran. That word basir comes back now. With insight, with wisdom. Now, that's abstract. What does that mean? Mikhail, what does that mean? I remember one of my teachers, who he may not realize he's my teacher, but one of my teachers, I was visiting him and he said, I'm taking you to go see a wali of Allah. This dude wasn't playing. This ain't, he's not like joking around. All right. Like this guy's serious. He's like, yo, I'm about to take you to go see a wali of Allah. No, he said a waliya. I'm like, word? Like in this town? Because we up in another city, right? I'm like, we got to go overseas, right? Like we got to take a flight. It's like, no, we're going down the street. We go into the projects, right? And we knock at the door. I'm like, yo, what's up, man? And this elderly lady, Khadija, rahimahullah, she passed away. She opened the door. And she's like, Salaamu Alaikum. Come on in. And she's like 75 at this time, maybe a little older. So she sits us down and she's talking. And only thing she's talking about is Allah. As she's talking to it, it's just Allah. That's it. Like, her focus was one at that point. That's it. And any advice, anything, he asked her a question, she brings him back to Allah. And wallah, you sat with her and you felt this nur, man. You felt this like rejuvenating spirit, like, ah, oh, I need that. And so the point is, like, what we have to understand, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba, they used to go to scholars, sheikhs and sheikhat, they used to go just to benefit from their breathe the same air as them. Just to breathe the same air. I know it sounds ajib. Again, yo, it's experiential, man. To be in that space is special. To be in that space is special. So there's a few narrations here, subhanAllah. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, I'm going to share a few of them just so you can understand. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that قَدْ كَانَ جَمَعَةٌ مِنَ السَّلَفِ, a large group of our pious predecessors, يَقْصِدُونَ عَبْدَ الصَّالِحِ, they would go to a righteous person, لِلنَّذْرِ إِلَى سَمْتِهِ وَهَدْيِهِ, just to chill and bring his presence and just watch him and just be there with him. Not to learn. They weren't there to actually like learn information. They were literally there to observe and be in the presence there. And he said, لَا لِإِقْتِبَاسِ عِلْمِهِ, they weren't there taking notes. And then he said, قَالَ أَبُو طَالِبِ الْمَكِّي, Abu Talib Makki, the author of Kutil Qulub, he says, قَدْ كَانُوا يَقْصِدُونَ الْأَمْصَارِ لِلِقَاءِ الْأُلَمَاءِ وَالصَّارِحِينَ, they used to go to different cities, visit different places, and once they got there, they're looking for the awliya, the sulaha of that city, and they would go and sit with them. Go and sit with them. I mean, it's hard to explain what happens and what you feel in the environment of a pure heart. Just off the top of my head, Sheikh Rajab Deeb of Dimashq, sitting in his presence, beautiful. Sister Khadija, no Sheikha, nothing. Sister Khadija, her presence was beautiful. Hafiz Mimi, presence, beautiful. These are people you would sit with them and know what qulub, qalbak, your heart would, just get this light, it's beautiful. It's hard to put in words, I'm sorry. But the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, back to the book. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what is the best company that we should keep? Who should we chill with? Who should we hang out with? Listen to these words and remember them. قال من ذكركم بالله رؤيا, the one when you see them, you remember Allah. Now maybe in your head you're like, I don't know nobody like that. But we got to go visit some places, all right? We got to go meet some shuyukh. We got to go meet some sheikhat. We got to go sit in some pious company. Khadija, man, I'm telling you, Sister Khadija, you sit in that company, man. Oh, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I don't want to name too many people, whatever. Man dhakarakum billahi ru'ya. And there's a nur. There's a nur, a light. Man dhakarakum billahi ru'ya. The first criterion for who you want to sit with, when you see them, you remember Allah. There's some people you see them, you remember dunya right away. There's some people you see them right away, you remember your investments. Right away. You see them, you're like, yo, how's my portfolio going? I'm telling you, you know that's the truth. And then there's other people, subhanAllah, man. Allah give us those people around us, man. And again, it's not about the scholars, man. It's not about the people of knowledge. The people of Allah are hidden amongst the people. They're hidden, yo. They're hidden. Allahu Akbar. ذَكَرَكُمْ بِاللَّهِ رُؤْيَا. You see them, you remember Allah. First quality. Number two, وَزَادَ فِي إِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقُهُ, and when they speak, it increases your knowledge of Allah. Sister Khadija, we're sitting with her, everything she was saying was increasing that yaqeen in Allah. So when they speak, the words that they say are increasing you in knowledge. And last but not least, وَذَكَّرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلَهُ, and their actions remind you of the hereafter. When you see them, when you see their actions, you remember Akhirah is real. Qiyamah is no joke. I'm going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. These are the people we want to spend time with. Now I'm going to say this. Imam Ghazali, at his time, he said it's hard to find these people. Let's keep it real. Imam Ghazali, we talking 800 years ago. At his time, he said it's hard to find these people. So where are we, man? Where are we? We have to keep looking. We have to look for good company. We have to attend these type of gatherings. Like I said, somewhere in this gathering is a wali of Allah. And you being in that company, there's a bit of calibration to the moral compass of the heart. There's a bit of recalibration that happens. Synchronizing of our souls, so to speak. That's why these gatherings are so important. Not because this one, any of these types of gatherings are so important for your heart. Make them part, just like you hit up the gym regularly, you gotta hit up these joints regularly. You need them. You need them. Allahu Akbar. وَزَادَ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقُهُ وَذَكَّرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلَهُ. This person's actions remind you. Now, I want to go back real quick to the thing. Listen, why did the early, and we're going to end with this. We won't read anymore, inshallah, we'll stop here. Why did the early generation try to just go and see scholars and sit in their company and not actually learn with them? There's one narration here that says, subhanAllah, listen to this. سمعت الحسن بن إسماعيل يقول سمعت أبي يقول كان يجتمع في مجلس أحمد بن حنبل. At the gathering of Ahmed bin Hanbal rahimahullah, there would be over 5,000 people in attendance. 5,000 people. Now listen to this. أقل من 500 يكتبون. Only 500 were taking notes. Now what that means is, back in, I mean, we a little different today. I ain't trying to, I know, never mind. I ain't trying to rag on nobody, right? It's all good. Some of us are just listening, right? So listen. Those 500 were like his students. All they were there for was to take notes. They're like, yo, let me get every word the Sheikh is saying. The other 400 and what was it? 4,500 people. They're just like, I don't need all that knowledge. I just need to be in the gathering. I'm good for the week. I'm good. I just need to watch him and be with him. Now you may be like, what's the point in that? Yo, when you've seen people act upon these things, it's a better teacher than just the words. Let me give an example. What's the reward of praying Fajr and then sitting in your place until Ishraq and praying two raka'ah? Hajj, right? Hajj. Huh? Yeah, Hajj with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hajj ma'ya. So one thing is a textual knowledge of that hadith, right? But in my mind, I've seen my teachers sitting for 30 minutes from tahajjud, praying Salatul Fajr, and then sitting for an hour and a half in silence and reflection. I've witnessed it, like I've watched them. And so now when I read that hadith, I have a vivid and living example where I've seen it acted. And that living example leaves an impression far more than the actual words themselves. And so that's why 4,500 people came. I just need to listen to Ahmed bin Hanbal. I don't need to write notes. I just need to listen and watch and be in the company of awliya and sulaha. So may Allah give us good company. May Allah give us the ability to be in good company as much as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to visit the gardens of Jannah. You're like, oh, what is he talking about? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you walk past a garden of Jannah, pick from the fruit. Sahaba were like, Ya Rasulullah, we don't see any gardens of Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, gatherings of remembrance of Allah, these are where the fruits of the gardens of Jannah are being given out. So make sure you attend them, you sit in them, and you're a part of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts, give our basira, give us the ability to see with our hearts, as we said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our eyes from haram so that we can gain that wilayah of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our coming together, inshallah. And may Allah allow us to practice what we preach. Ameen. Jazakum Allahu khair. Any questions, inshallah, before Maghrib? You know, when I was in, I spent a really short time in Damascus, right? And I was talking about taking notes, right? It was ajib. In Dimashq, whenever I saw this with my own eyes, you'd be in a masjid, and I mean like Irving size masjid, right? Like huge, okay? And the sheikh would be giving a dars. Ajib, man. And whenever he said, Qala Rasulullah, I kid you not, every single person in the room was writing down the hadith. And so much you could hear the pencil. You know the sound of pencils? When you're in an exam hall, for example? Like you could hear the whole masjid silent, but the sound of the pencils writing down the hadith. So people were like, whenever they were hearing hadith, they would want to write those hadith. That was a beautiful sight. May Allah protect the people of Syria. Make it easy for them, man. SubhanAllah. Any questions? Yeah. Advice, practical advice for distancing oneself from bad company. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. Very good question. I think we live in a time now where boundaries are something that is talked about a lot. Personal boundaries is something that is a safe topic nowadays. And we have to learn how to set those boundaries. Sometimes it may be awkward at first to not be reaching out to someone as much, not replying as much, you know, but you have to learn how to set boundaries and kind of like, yo, I'm busy. You know what I mean? Like, yo, my mom needs me to do something. I ain't lying, but next week she needs me to do something. You know what I mean? Like, you got to find ways to make boundaries, man. First, identify the company that's negative for you, right? For you, and then start creating boundaries in space. All right? The other reason why you need to make boundaries is you can't have good company if you were surrounded by negative company. And we need good company to keep reminding us and pushing us, encouraging us. Our iman gets weak. We need people positive around us. If you're surrounded by that negative company, how are you ever going to have space and time for that positive company? You feel me? I'm not trying to say change your whole social network, but I'm just trying to say increase time with righteous people. For a convert, that's so hard in the beginning, man. So hard. But that's why I feel like the convert in the beginning, if they get through that, their relationship with Allah is like, man, they're like, I'm good. You know what I mean? Do a few Eids by yourself. See how it feels. I've done plenty. You know what I mean? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
And then you said you realized you had bad company. So like how long did it take for you, like after the realization that they're bad and you're like still sticking into it, sticking with it?
Yeah, yeah.
How did it take for you to finally make that cut?
Yeah, okay. The question is the question is about personally, after converting, how long did it take me to realize that that company wasn't good? There are a few telltale incidents that told me, like it's just not mixing, it's not gonna work. I can't be rocking no thobe when, you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to work. I would say like 3 months or so after converting, I was like, yeah, I can't. It's not going to work. And you know what's funny? The people that, the kind of neighborhoods that I'm from, there's a respect for upliftment. So when people saw me trying to get better, there was actually an appreciation for that. The haters, the bad company are the people that are going to be like, oh, why are you trying to get all pious now? Oh, you're trying to get smart. Like, you're trying to get better grades. You study. The dude's like, oh, you're trying to be smart now? Like, yo, you ain't even a friend, bro. You low-key a hater, man. You don't want to see me succeed. Spiritually, the same thing will happen. The good people will be like, keep it up, yo. We respect what you... And that's literally what happened to me. They were like, yo, we don't want to see you on this block no more, yo. And I was like, all right, cool. May Allah accept, inshallah. I could share more, but I can't share more. Y'all feel me? Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, brother. Wa alaykum as-salam.
How do you determine
the difference between somebody who Yeah, so the question, this is what everyone always asks. Like, there's a brother or a sister who I feel that they need me, right? So the main thing you got to realize is who's giving dawah to who, who's changing who. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there are some people you deal with that have very strong personalities, very strong. Sometimes those people, you can't. His personality is way too strong. He's pulling me. And other people, personality not so strong, right? So I can help way and push in the right direction. In any way, even when I'm in that company, I'm going to have to offset that with a lot of good company as well. Lectures, good company, these type of places, things like that. But I look at the strength of the personality in relation to me. Like, is my personality stronger than theirs, or they're stronger than me, or they're influencing me? Because it's about saving myself at the end of the day, right?
Okay.
Tayyip. All right. May Allah accept from us all. May Allah forgive our sins. May Allah allow us to continue to benefit from these gatherings, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah heal the sicknesses in our heart. May Allah forgive our family members who have passed away, raise their daraja. May Allah allow us to find the hidden gems in awliya, the good people who He loves. Bring us close to them, Ya Allah. Let us stumble upon them, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan.